You are listening to an Insight 18 special for Money Control.
Well, my captain Virat Kohli has entered into two legally binding contracts just last year, and one of them, I suspect, is going to be a premature divorce. Virat Kohli just signed up to be the brand ambassador for Uber in India. Incidentally, he was also the brand ambassador for Punjab National Bank, but we digress. Gaadi bula rahi hai, seati baja rahi hai, chalna hi zindagi hai, but when you do get around to actually going, is it going to be an Ola or is it going to be an Uber? That's the big question we're asking. Is Uber's empire in India shrinking? What are the ramifications of SoftBank having a stake in Ola as well as Uber, and is Uber in India going to follow the same track as it has followed in Southeast Asia and leave? Is SoftBank, the Japanese funder which has stakes in both Ola and Uber, pressuring a merger of Ola and Uber? These are some of the big questions we're asking on this deep dive podcast and Insight 18 special for Money Control. My name is Rakesh, and the big question we're asking: what is the future of Uber in India?
What is the future of Uber in India? An Insight 18 special for Money Control.
On the first part of this podcast, let's concentrate on where Uber is at right now. Uber once wanted to expand all over the world, but last Monday, it added to its list of big strategic retreats with a little help from one of its biggest investors these days, SoftBank. More on SoftBank later. But in an email sent to staff, Uber CEO Dara Khosrowshahi said the company would merge with its big Southeast Asian rival, Grab. Uber will get a 27.5% stake in the combined firm, 500 staff will transition to Grab, and its customers will be shifted over to Grab's apps. And this is in the wake of similar such events over the past 2 years. Less than 2 years ago, Uber did much the same thing in China, when it ceded control of the market to rival Didi Shuxing. Last year, it followed suit in Russia through a merger with Yandex's ride-hailing business. At the start of this year, the Japanese tech conglomerate SoftBank, which seems to have a finger in most pies these days, invested as much as $9.3 billion in Uber and told the company to focus on its core markets in the US, Europe, Latin America, and Australia. Do you see key names missing out there? Well, India and Southeast Asia. Meanwhile, SoftBank and Didi are increasingly partnering up, and last July, the two companies invested as much as $2 billion in Grab. Now, Uber is handing over to Grab in countries including Singapore, Malaysia, Indonesia, the Philippines, Thailand, Vietnam, Cambodia, and Myanmar. It's also a question of which battles Uber has come to believe it can win and which it has to gracefully bow out of. In that letter, Khosrowshahi went on to say, and I quote, "One of the potential dangers of our global strategy is that we take on too many battles across too many fronts and with too many competitors. This transaction now puts us in a position to compete with real focus and weight in the core markets where we operate, while giving us valuable and growing equity stakes in a number of big and important markets where we don't." On being questioned if Uber was going the merger route with Ola in India, Khosrowshahi on his visit to India went on to say, and I quote, "The great news about a Grab deal is that it allows us to double down to invest aggressively in our core markets, and we consider India very much as core to Uber's success. We'd of course look at any deals that can add value to our partners and shareholders, but we believe in controlling our own destiny in India," he went on to say.
You are listening to an Insight 18 special for Money Control.
Let's take stock of what Uber's reach in India is. Uber operates in about 30 Indian cities and has more than 35% share of the taxi market. Ola, which is in 110 cities, has more than a 45% share, according to Counterpoint Research. It also has its own digital wallet called Ola Money and offers services like Prime Play, which is an in-car entertainment platform for longer trips. In India, which makes up more than 10% of its global rides, Uber has to battle just one rival, that is Ola, whereas in Southeast Asia and China, it was up against multiple local operators. Although it is true that both companies claim leadership in terms of market share, Ola has around 10 lakh driver partners registered with it across 110 cities, while Uber in India has 4.5 partners across 31 cities. And according to other independent analysts, Ola controls 70% of the Indian market, while Uber's share is pegged at 26%. Uber has also been trying to match step-by-step Ola's tactics here, including motorcycle hailing and auto rickshaw hailing products. This has been the second time that Uber has attempted to launch the auto rickshaw service after pulling the curtains down on a similar plot in 2015. So doing it right this time was also very important for Uber's growth in India. But despite all these efforts, it seems like Uber has been consistently losing at battles with various local competitors across the world. Anybody who has taken a taxi in Southeast Asia's traffic-choked cities knows that Uber's was always and also ran in this particular region. Compared with Grab, which was the dominant ride-sharing company in Southeast Asia, Uber consistently had fewer cars available and was perpetually behind in offering localized services. So when the news came out last week about Uber and Grab's merger, it was merely a confirmation of what everybody knew in Southeast Asia, that Uber was simply not keeping up in Southeast Asia.
What is the future of Uber in India? An Insight 18 special for Money Control.
And again, like I said, it's not for lack of trying. Uber has raised more than $20 billion in funding since its inception, as it has worked to bring its service to nearly every market on earth. But an inability to scale and localize quickly in certain markets has left more than enough room for local players to gain traction and fend off Uber's advances. Grab in Southeast Asia, Didi in China, Yandex in Russia, and well, Ola in India. It is not a pattern that has been restricted to its non-core markets. We also see a slow change within what it considers its core markets. Take, for example, Latin America. SoftBank, there that name again, invested in Brazil-based ride-hailing app 99 last year, before China's Didi, which again, as you might recall, counts SoftBank as an investor, bought 99 outright. For context, Uber is the leading ride-hailing app in Brazil, with Sao Paulo and Rio de Janeiro, Uber's two biggest cities globally in terms of the number of rides. And there, Didi and SoftBank are making its presence felt. In Mexico, which is another one of Uber's most profitable markets and one which it claims a near monopoly on ride-sharing, there are some changes happening as well. Didi are planning to mix things up a little even there, with plans to launch Didi's first international service out of Mexico City this year. Didi, one of whose investors is SoftBank, we cannot emphasize that enough, has managed to raise as much as $4 billion in December, just 8 months after raising $5.5 billion and merely a year after $7.3 billion raise from some big name backers, including Apple. So Didi has raised as much as $20 billion in funding, which gives us some sense of how much clout it wields and how much expansion it has in its horizon. And even outside of emerging markets like Latin America and Southeast Asia, Uber is facing troubles. German automobile giant Daimler, via its MyTaxi ride-hailing offshoot, acquired Greece's TaxiBeat primarily to challenge Uber in Europe. TaxiBeat also currently operates in Peru, and Daimler's MyTaxi has said that it plans to invest in expanding operations across Latin America, though it appears to be only limited to Chile right now. But the point is, even within Latin America and South America, there are many competitors propping up their technology-based urban mobility services against Uber. In related news, Daimler and BMW have announced plans to merge their ride-hailing units earlier this week in a bid to challenge Uber and similar services. So we've looked at Southeast Asia, we've looked at China, Russia, Latin America. Let's turn to the Middle East and Africa. Who else is competing with Uber there? Well, Didi has already invested in Dubai-based Careem, which operates across more than a dozen markets as part of a broader strategic partnership. But it's becoming increasingly clear that Latin America will be the next big battleground for Uber.
You are listening to an Insight 18 special for Money Control.
Uber has always had the first mover advantage, but when it moved into all these territories, SoftBank and Didi's many billion dollars did not exist. But now, Uber can expect a tough time, not only in expanding its service, but also retaining its existing hold. But apparently, not. Speaking about Uber's recent merger with Grab, Khosrow Shahi suggested that the company's future growth will be organic, rather than through mergers and acquisitions. It's fair to ask whether consolidation is now the strategy of the day, given this is the third deal of its kind from China to Russia and now Southeast Asia. But the answer is no. But the bottom line is that Uber is facing a major battle in at least two of its core markets with a combined population of more than 300 million people. Didi is already reportedly poaching management staff from Uber in Mexico, and Didi's money, $20 billion that we said, will go a long way in testing Uber's resolve to stay not just in Brazil, but likely elsewhere as well. Here, we should also talk about Easy Taxi, which is based in Sao Paulo and operates across a number of Latin American markets, including Argentina, Mexico, Bolivia, Panama, Brazil, Peru, Chile, etc. Now, Easy Taxi has not yet come under the attention of SoftBank, Didi, or Uber, but it has raised as much as $80 million in funds, and as the battle heats up in Latin America, we'll only see what route Uber will take. Will it go the M&A route, or will it continue to insist that its growth will be organic and not through M&A?
What is the future of Uber in India? An Inside 18 special for Money Control.
In the midst of all this comes the news that Uber is considering a public offering in 2019. With this, it would make sense for the company to pitch India's growth, which is the story we're talking about, to investors. But it also needs to balance that by showing profitability. Here is where SoftBank comes in. SoftBank is like the pushy dance mom who has two daughters, but she knows one of them is better in this particular dance. And she's trying to push for the other daughter to push out of the way and have this daughter with the longer legs and the better performance to have the spotlight to herself. And that is precisely the story that is likely evolving in India. Uber is apparently in talks to merge its Indian operation with Ola because SoftBank, which has a stake in both these companies, is apparently putting pressure on the US transport company to stem losses in Asia and focus on its core Western markets. Of course, we've also spoken about the fact that there's trouble brewing in those Western markets as well, but they're nearly not as bad as they were in Asia. According to some people with direct knowledge of the talks, as reported by the Financial Times, Uber and Ola have held a series of discussions in recent months to explore the possible combination. They also said that the talks were at an early stage, but that an agreement could be reached within the next few months. Apparently, SoftBank has been pushing for this deal ever since it became Uber's biggest investor in December, although this piece of information was denied by a person who was close to SoftBank, as per the report on the Financial Times. The question that's dominating this conversation is, if this merger does happen, who will be in control? And sources close to Ola have gone on to say that any deal would be an acquisition by the company of Uber's operations, saying that the terms would need to reflect its larger market share. That is, Ola's larger market share. Again, the numbers on market share have varied so wildly. I've already given you two separate statistics from two different analysts, and there is another one which talks about the fact that Ola accounts for 56.2% of the Indian ride-hailing market in December, as opposed to 39.6% for Uber. But one thing is for sure, Ola is in more Indian cities than Uber. Ola with 110 and Uber with 31. Well, through all of this, I haven't said much about Ola. Let's take a look at what some of the reports about Ola are saying. Ola is apparently looking to raise a new round of funding of at least $1 billion from Singapore-based Temasek Holdings to diversify its investor base. And why is diversifying its investor base important? Well, it's to ensure that no one investor, such as, well, SoftBank, is able to dictate terms. Ola promoters Bhavish Agarwal and Ankit Bhati apparently have already put in place a plan to deal with the eventuality of a merger or buyout to ensure that they are in management control. Well, at least according to a report that was carried by Business Standard, those in the know say that the strategy, which is not to let SoftBank be able to dictate terms entirely on its own, was based on tense boardroom battles that were seen at e-marketplace Snapdeal, where apparently SoftBank put pressure on the promoters to sell the business to Flipkart, which they resisted. The Japanese investor then wrote off its investment in Snapdeal, which probably explains why Ola has gone beyond SoftBank for a fresh rounding of $1 billion from other sources, such as Temasek Holdings. As it turns out, in October last year, it also raised another $1 billion, this time led by SoftBank's rival from China, Tencent. And as a result of this, SoftBank's stake has apparently fallen because of the new funds raised, which it might want to make up by buying from existing investors who want a partial exit. To quote the report from Business Standard, the company has changed its articles of association. Under this, any transfer of equity shares by Ola investors, which have 10% or more of the total equity, would need clearance of the promoters. So, SoftBank cannot raise its stake without promoter support. And who are the promoters here? Bhavish Agarwal and Ankit Bhati. So if SoftBank wants to raise its stake, it is beholden to the approval of Bhavish and Ankit. But SoftBank can buy stakes to maintain its overall shareholding, which might have come down due to the expansion of the equity base. Sources now say that the holding is at 22.5% to 25%. The promoters, on the other hand, that is Bhavish and Ankit, have about 12%. So the situation involving Dance Mom, that is SoftBank, only keeps getting more and more interesting. This corporate intrigue is sort of killing me, and I can't wait to find out in the coming weeks and months what the eventual result of this corporate drama will be. But the other, probably the most important question in all of this saga is, how am I affected? Is this a good thing for me as a consumer? Based on precedent, the answer seems to be no.
What is the future of Uber in India? An Inside 18 special for Money Control.
Let's take a look at Southeast Asia as our example case. This time, like we know, Uber decided to sell its Southeast Asian business to the biggest regional rival here, Grab. Services throughout Asia just like they have in India, have long relied on discounts and promotions for consumers and incentives for drivers, which made for tough competition, pushing down profit margins. We all know the number of times we've taken these passes. A ride that may have cost us 250 rupees came to about 150. We were all happy, our pockets were happy. But now, Grab has said that the Uber acquisition accelerated its path to profitability in its core transport business as it would become the most cost-efficient Southeast Asian platform. While drivers have been split on which of the two services offered better compensation, they generally expected the fares to go up with reduced competition. So basically, the loser is me as a customer. If there was competition, I would have at least got competitive prices. But if it's just one big entity with no viable competition in sight, where am I going to get my discount? And it's not just in Southeast Asia. It's a similar pattern that happened even in China. Following a similar merger between Didi and Uber in 2016 in China, driver numbers dropped dramatically as subsidies lapsed and new regulations raised residence requirements for drivers. In the year following Didi's acquisition, driver response rates fell between 15 and 40% in major Chinese cities, according to Didi Xuching's data. So it's not just bad for me, but it's also bad for the drivers, because back then, if they had the ability to switch between apps, they could be courted. There could be incentives that would make either of these apps more attractive to the driver, but with just one, there just seems to be no reason for incentives to go up. China's official Xinhua news agency has slammed car-hailing service Didi for capricious price rises in the wake of this merger, suggesting its acquisition of former competitor Uber China's business has resulted in a monopoly of the market, as well as making its charges more opaque. Another report from 2016, right after this merger, had pointed out that Uber fares in China soared after the Didi deal, with the cost of rides nearly doubling in Beijing, which is a good indicator of what might happen if Uber and Ola came to a similar deal in India, because, well, there'll be no competition in the market to keep prices under check. If a deal like this does go through, if SoftBank does sort of soft arm Uber into making the deal, the losers are you and me. The losers are you and me and the drivers, because we're clearly going to see a change in the rates we're getting from the company, and not for the better. As it is, the surge pricing that we see on these apps is clearly beyond our understanding. How it goes up, when it comes down, who is in charge of this, no one knows. But with this monolithic entity monopolizing the market, that surge system will end up becoming even more opaque and even more unavoidable. So if you ask the general customer such as me, I would obviously want for multiple players to exist in the same market, simply because I stand to benefit from it. But if you asked SoftBank, which is pumping in the money in this operation, the answer is very clear. The driver community, meanwhile, in India are none too happy about the developments in Uber and Ola outside of the corporate intrigue. Drivers of these cab aggregators threatened to go on an indefinite strike from the midnight of 18th March, just 2 weeks ago. The strike was observed in key cities like Mumbai, New Delhi, Bangalore, Hyderabad, Pune, among other cities. Sanjay Nayak of the Maharashtra Navnirman Vahatuk Sena went on to say, and I quote, "Ola and Uber had given big assurances to the drivers, but today they are unable to cover their costs. They have invested 5 to 7 lakh rupees and were expecting to make 1.5 lakh rupees a month, but are unable to even make half of this, owing to the mismanagement by these companies." Nayak went on to further allege that these taxi hailing companies are giving first priority to company-owned cars rather than driver-owned vehicles, causing a slump in their business. While taxi hailing companies offered loan guarantee letters to drivers through the Mudra scheme, and that too without any verification, they're defaulting on repayment now as their costs are not covered, he went on to say. In Mumbai alone, there are over 45,000 cabs on these cab aggregators, but due to the slump in the business, there has been a fall of 20% in the number of cabs running on these platforms in the city. If our demands are not met, we will go on an indefinite strike, was what Nayak had threatened 2 weeks ago.
You are listening to an Insight 18 special for Money Control.
Meanwhile, as early as last year, after failing to get relief from Ola and Uber, drivers in Bangalore, Delhi and Chennai were mulling launching of their own app. According to some reports in the media, some drivers had extended their full-fledged backing to the idea, while others were still apprehensive about it. Nearly 8,000 cabbies were allegedly in support of the move.
What is the future of Uber in India? An Insight 18 special for Money Control.
Meanwhile, in Chennai, to disrupt the near monopoly of Ola and Uber, a group of 3,000 cab drivers had come together to launch their own app. According to media reports, Ottanar Thorargal Sangam, an organization associated with the Center of Indian Trade Unions, planned to roll out the app in March. This comes as a move after Uber and Ola have been under fire for collecting hefty commissions from drivers and charging cancellation fee and surge prices from customers. Sampath, one of the members involved in setting up the app, said, and I quote, "The idea is to ensure that the passengers are not fleeced and drivers drivers too enjoy the benefits of app-based cab bookings. At present, cab aggregators collect 20 to 21% of the total earnings of drivers as commission over and above the goods and service tax. In OTS taxis, drivers will be charged only 7%, along with 5% GST, towards this head. Those people putting this new app together have promised that the charges to the customer would only take into account the total distance travelled. The app also promises not to charge any hidden fees or charges for changing the destination point during the journey. The organisers behind the launch of this new app have approached BSNL for a memorable contact number. Efforts are also on to work out a fare slab according to the model of the car. The app was expected to be launched in March this year. As of now, there isn't any new development that we're hearing in this regard. This is, of course, not new to India. The resistance comes in the wake of Europe having already revolted against Uber. The contrast between Europe's resistance highlights once again how European regulatory structures, in principle designed to protect consumers, end up protecting entrenched suppliers and stifling innovation. The contrast can also point us to the ways Europe's government should amend their rules, encouraging entrepreneurs to develop cutting-edge business models at home rather than being forced to accept innovations only after they've become best practices abroad. Anti-Uber protests by cab drivers have been a part of a long tradition of established suppliers challenging new technologies that could cost them their jobs. Like I said earlier, Daimler and BMW were also joining hands to combine their cab hailing apps to present as a viable resistance against the monopoly of Uber. So it's an age of resistance against the monopolizing of companies such as Uber and Ola that has been seen across the world.
What is the future of Uber in India? An Insight 18 special for Money Control.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive podcast about Uber's shrinking empire and what the future of Uber might be in India. With more such deep dives, we will join you every day. Until then, this is me, Rakesh, saying goodbye, and thank you for joining us right here on Money Control.
You are listening to an Insight 18 special for Money Control.